Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, this is the Thin White Duke, and here we are in the holiday bit between Christmas and New Year. But that doesn't mean the agony uncles have left you high and dry. Oh no, we have a whole bunch of brand new problems which Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash have been considering for you. So in this episode, sit back, relax and enjoy the Sprout Shouting Saga, Bonkers About Bacon, A Bunch of Fussy Yanks, and today, in Confidential Corner, the Mum and Dad Letters. Yes, it's all coming up in the Agony Uncles.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? Because I heard your advice is the best.
The Sprout Shouting Match. This comes from John, who says, Dear Uncles and the Posh One, I think he means you, Tash, please settle an argument about sprouts. According to me, sprouts cook better if you slit the bottoms. According to my better half, who likes her veg on the crunchy side, they cook better if left natural. Who's right, please? We had a right Barney about this one year, and it's becoming a bit of a let us never speak of this again moment. She loves you too, though, so I know that any advice from you would settle it. Over to you, says John.
Life's too short to put crosses in the bottom of your sprouts. I've just got to say it. I don't do that. And I mean, I like mine. Well, first of all, I never buy sprouts until they've had the first frost. Because like all root veg, they're just better that way. Because you definitely know them.
Yeah, the sweeter. The frost promotes the natural sugars. It's like parsnips. They're much sweeter when they've got the frost on them. But you see, I think the fashions with Brussels sprouts have changed over the years. You know, nowadays people like the sprouts crunchy, indeed, in a salad. But, you know, when I was a kid, there was always a little cross for Jesus went in the bottom of your sprout. And it does intend to cook the inside, so they are a bit mushy. But, you know, I kind of sentiment-wise, I quite like them like that. But on the other hand, I quite like them shredded, you know, roasted, crispy, with Parmesan cheese and stuff on top. But then, you know, with pancetta and chestnuts.
Mm-hmm. It's my favourite. The chestnuts and pancetta is the only way forward. I think pan-fried, that's my favourite. But can you just tell me, Dave, you just said the cross on the bottom, a little cross for Jesus. Is that just someone's made that up because we eat them at Christmas? Or is that really why they did it? Or was it done because of the cooking?
Oh, because my mother was mad, that's why. Oh.
And actually, it is a tradition from one of the wise kings. I can't remember which one he said. And he said, Leah, Jesus, here we go. I've brought you a sprout. And just here's the frankincense, here's the myrrh, here's the gold. But actually, I brought you a sprout. And this sprout, I'm going to put a cross on the bottom for Jesus. Because, as we all know, that's what you do.
Thus, this is the Geordie Nativity as written by Viz. And one of the King Simon, came from Prudder, bearing a bag of sprouts. Aye.
He was last in the queue, but he got there eventually.
The Agony Uncles podcast would like to disassociate itself from any religious meaning to what just previously happened. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you remember it was funny, after the first three series, the BBC kind of tried to bin us, and they gave us one programme, which they said you'd have a Christmas special. So we worked out this Christmas special, and we realised our careers were on the line, and we did everything, and it was going to be set in between Cumbria and the northeast, and we even booked camels, didn't we?
Yeah, and camels. I had reindeer from Bekielde. Yeah, we had the lot.
And then the BBC phoned up at the last minute and said, we haven't got a transmission scheduled before Christmas. Can you just do the same thing, but with no mention of Christmas?
Oh, no. New Year reindeer, New Year camels. Brilliant.
So was it a winter special? That's what we called it.
It ended up being me and you trying to wend our way home to your mother in sheltered accommodation in Birtley, which we thought was infinitely, you know, downsizing, but we did bomber with the ratings, didn't we? Got 3.6 million. So that was it. Boom. We were back on telly.
The downside of that was that actually the nation and those viewers thought Dave and I were a gay couple that lived with my mother in sheltered accommodation in County Durham, in Birtley. So it was kind of like, it was kind of hilarious.
That doesn't sound an unattractive
proposition. No, no, doesn't it be fair?
Your mother was a fabulous cook and it was very cosy.
We would have had some money.
Aye, aye.
It would have been great.
Food makes everything better.
Our next problem is called Bonkers About Bacon. And for this, I like this. I'm just going to read the opening for you. Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, of course, the smooth-voiced Thin White Duke, and poshest of Posh Tash. I don't mind you using my real name, but it'd be much more fun to make Posh Tash make one up, a male name, please, as she loves doing so. Just make it something exotic, says our correspondent.
Exotic?
Yes.
No. Gethin? Is that exotic?
Oh, yes.
Gethin. Oh, get in,
Welsh
Gethin.
I'll tell you what, it's better than the Irish neighbour. Good God.
Well, that's true.
I couldn't believe that. I looked at the wall and there she was.
There she was.
What?
Well, listen, Gethin has said bonkers about bacon. My wife and I are huge fans. In fact, we moved up north to near Newcastle because we watched your Hairy Bikers Go North programme. We loved it. We wanted to try all the places you went to. Yes, seriously, we're loving the food and the incredible scenery. I have a question about bacon. I love it with a passion, and it's the biggest reason I couldn't become vegetarian. My question is this. When should you use back bacon and when should you use streaky bacon? I grew up eating streaky and can fry it to perfection, but whenever I try to fry back bacon, it just cooks in patches and doesn't come out right at all, but I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. Please could you explain how to cook back bacon and when you should use it versus streaky? Thank you. Keep up the good work. Best wishes. Over to you.
Well, I know what Dave and I are going to say. I mean, the thing is that streaky bacon is a thing of wonder and back bacon is a thing of wonder. So either way, I'd use them all the time. And it's not tough weather. I love it.
Yeah, I think back bacon, we're unusual. They're about the only country who does back bacon.
Mm,
yeah. I mean, it was in France for many years and you can't get any bacon there at all, really. In America, it's just a shriveled up strips of griddled belly pork, isn't it? But it's the way we cure bacon, and the back bacon is amazing. You've got like a double whammy. You've got that lean nugget of loveliness in the middle. Then you've got enough fat around that to keep it perfect. It is a work of art. I'm a great bacon fan. I think the back bacon for a sandwich is good.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I think derivatives of the streaky, i.e., because it comes from the belly, is good for wrapping stuff in. You know, we like there was a recipe that Dave and I did. I mean, it's actually Parma ham that we wrapped this beautiful fig in, but I've done it with smoked streaky bacon as well. So there's slightly more culinary applications to streaky than there is to back. And as this says, I think, you know, back bacon is just great in a sarnie. However, though, you can't cut across it and use it as a kind of little lard-on kind of vibe as well, can't you? So
I've had a thing recently, actually. I just got some exceptionally good streaky bacon from a farm shop near us. And I've had my bacon sandwiches with streaky bacon. Mm. And although it's probably not that healthy, it was really good.
Really
they
tasty.
They have to be quite crispy, don't they? If I had streaky bacon, it has to be crispy. Whereas I don't mind a little bit more of the fat, less crispy if you have a piece of back bacon.
Yeah, because there's more bacon than fat.
Yeah, exactly.
But I find, you see, having an auger, what I do is I just put my streaky bacon on a tray in the hot oven. Oh. And Bob's your uncle, perfection, yeah. Yeah, but streaky back bacon, I don't know. I mean, I go through all sorts of phases of cooking it in a frying pan, a griddle pan, and grill. I think grilling it's quite good, really, isn't it? Because you get like a nice, even look. But obviously, I can't grill because I've got an auger. I just have to put it in the oven.
One more mention.
I miss my grill. But grilled back bacon's lovely. But again, it depends on the bacon, doesn't it? Not all bacons are created equal. There was a time when Dutch bacon was all the rage. And it used to shrink in the pan.
Yeah.
It was like you put a rasher in and it was half the size when it came out. And there'd be like a white watery residue in the pan. That's wrong.
Wrong. Yeah. Wrong. And that's called wet. And what they do is it's called wet curing. So this is the horrible bit. They inject it with all of the saline and solutions that they need to kind of cure it, but it cures in the pack, so there's nowhere for it to for all of that moisture to evaporate while you're cooking it. You see, it's just like which is hence the white residue. Yeah,
I'm sure you think it's sacrilege, but my family, not always, but my son, maybe teenager, he wants fast bacon sandwich. He sticks it in the microwave. Is that wrong or is that okay?
I'd take the microwave clean out of your kitchen and hide it.
Yes,
I. There was somewhere I was working and I was kind of... remember we had the tin box? Do you remember we contained the City Kingy?
Yeah.
But I couldn't have like a big cooker, so I had like a microwave combi oven and it had this stand you put on it. No, it wasn't a combi, it was just a microwave oven. But it was a stand that you could put the bacon on, like a metal stand. And the bacon was brilliant, actually. It was actually crisping up. It wasn't like a flaccid, like dead octopus.
No.
It was crisping up all right.
And
obviously this metal tray didn't react with the microwave, or else I'd have blown myself up.
Yeah.
There's something about the reaction of it on the hot metal that caused it to kind of have a grill effect. Do you remember that was all right, King? You're halfway decent bacon.
Do you know
butties.
What?
You're
right, bro. It was, actually. I remember that. I remember that very clearly. And that was all right, actually. Yeah. Okay, I take it all back.
Yeah, it's quick.
Leave your microwave where it is, and it's dead quick. I haven't
really
got
like
one, so
and
I'm completely...
I do actually hate them, so I'm actually with you. I don't see the point in them. I'll be honest, with teenagers, the convenience is amazing.
Yeah, fair dues.
And our griddles are good as well, the Hairy Biker's griddle pan. Yeah. You know, the electric ones. They're great for bacon.
Available from hairybikers.com. Click through and you get straight onto Amazon.
Yeah, there was a time when we were selling more of them than George Foreman's. Cheaper and all.
It was pretty cheaper. Yeah.
Aye. But those they're good. They're really good for bacon. Because they heat it top and bottom. And actually, to answer the question about cooking back bacon through evenly, because you've got heat sources on both sides, those griddle pans will be perfect. And of course, the fat trickles down into a trough which you can dispose on it, so it's healthier too.
Never.
Unless you use it to dip your bread in like Kingy does.
Yeah. Sure up, you're giving away my secrets.
So there you go, Gethin. The answer to all of your problems is the Hairy Biker's Griddle Pan, which is available now from hairybikers.com.
Sorry, Gethin.
If you've got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
Your next problem is called A Bunch of Fussy Yanks. And it comes to you from Pat and... Wonderful names here. Pat and Moose Martelli. Real names. So Pat and Moose have written, "Hello, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, Posh Tash and Jeeves. I'm writing to you from Swansea." Not your Swansea, though. The one on the other side of the pond in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, Swansea.
Massachusetts. Mm. Insert song here. Anyway, my wife, Pat, this comes from Moose. My wife, Pat, and I love to cook. We have...
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. We have an outdoor kitchen equipped with a grill and a pizza oven that are both properly wood-fired. And we're very proud of our accomplishments in the kitchen. While
excellent.
My claims to fame includes... I'm going to have a go at this, right? Bistecca alla Fiorentina.
Bistecca Florentina.
Now that one.
Yeah.
And other assorted grill critters. My wife, Pat's Neapolitan pizza dough recipe is first class, and her bolognese will make you think you're feasting in the Emilia Romana, if
nice.
I've got those right too.
Oh, nice, yeah.
The problem seems to be, says Moose, inviting people to eat.
Oh,
though
good.
They all enjoy the tasty comestibles, there isn't much in the way of reciprocity. Simply put, we invite... but don't get invited back. I realise that we're a bit over the top when it comes to food prep, but it's what we love to do. Honestly, is there a better feeling in the world than feeding people and seeing that smile on their faces?
No.
So, what do we do? Do we dumb down our enthusiasm and start serving pasta salads and taco dip? Or we just surrender ourselves to the fact that if we want to see friends for dinner, we'll be cooking. Which is fine. Or maybe we're just overthinking the whole thing. Help us, Agony Uncles. You're our only hope. Good Star Wars reference there.
Yeah, that is good. I'm in a cape.
P.S. When will I be able to purchase my Team Pie Wacket T-shirt?
We've got to do that.
That comes from Moose and Pat.
Moose, I think you secretly love being the centre of attention and having it acknowledged that you've got the best food in the neighbourhood. You know, enjoy it, embrace it, and, you know, drop a few hints, like, that you wouldn't mind going to somebody's house for tea and you'd be happy with egg and chips, as long as it's done nicely, you know?
It's happened to Dave and I all our lives. It's exactly the same. We do get invited to places, but everybody starts to go kind of... But, like, what? It doesn't matter. You know, it's the generosity of actually the invitation that's important, and seeing everybody, not the, you know, the food is important. Of course it is to Dave and I, and also Moose. But you just, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it, and you do it to the standard that you want.
I mean, if she takes it as a compliment, she's clearly amazing at it, and everyone else is incredibly nervous about what could they do to match it. And she needs to explain to her friends that I don't need that exactly back. I just want to be around the friends, because clearly she's a food wonder and hostess of the mostess. So I think that's the hardest part. But I'll put my hand up and go, I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I invited you two over for dinner properly and go, I'll cook for you. I mean, surely you guys must find that incredibly hard to put people at ease, to go, your food's fine. Because honestly, underneath, you both must be going,
we don't, as long as it's okay. But more like, he's in restaurants and stuff, I'm the one who'll just go, well, if somebody asks me how is it and it's rubbish, I'll tell them, but King is much better at complaining than I am, you know, if you get rubbish. Whereas I just walk away, you know.
I just think that, look, you know, it's one of those things that it's about the generosity of all being together, and that invitation in itself is fine, and it really doesn't matter if it's, you know, a dodgy bit of tuna on the barbecue or that's overcooked and dry as an old sock. It doesn't matter. It's about, you know, it's just about hanging out together and being around and having a few beers and a bit crack on, isn't it? You know,
you like being cooked for, you two. I mean, as with
yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. Love being able to sit down and put my feet under the table, shoes off, and, you know, get ready for what's coming, really. And it's nice where I've moved in Staffordshire that we've been round to the neighbours 3 times already, and they can all cook. Oh, it's great, actually. Very, very lovely, you know, and we enjoy it and appreciate it, you know, especially at the minute, because my palate's all over the place. I taste something and I think I get it in my head what it is, but with the chemotherapy, what goes down that end, it's completely different, you know. I had a craving for a fish finger sandwich the other day, but when it push come to shove, it wasn't doing it, really. Didn't taste like it, tastes just completely shot.
Wow.
Changed.
I had a modern family moment yesterday, actually, in that Jane, my ex-wife, invited me up for Sunday lunch for just like chicken dinner with her partner Paul, who's lovely, and we all sat around the table, and it was the first time I'd been cooked for, because it was lovely. It was really nice, and my son and his partner were there. We just all sat around just having a crack, and it was, and Jane's a good cook, so but it was just the generosity of being invited, because I just got back from Italy and all of that, so it was lovely, it was really lovely, but it was a bit of a modern family moment. I was giggling away to myself, it was great.
Yeah, I'm so binary.
Yeah, hey man.
Well, let's go around the table for Moose then, I think. So Moose and Pat, what would your advice be? Uncle Dave.
Oh, Moose and Pat, I think you haven't got a problem, have you? You're top of the tree. You love cooking. You've obviously got the outdoor kitchen, so when you do cook for people, it is quite a lot of hard work, but it's part of it, isn't it? Making the dough, seeing the faces. Go for it, embrace it, love it. You're really lucky.
Uncle Si.
Same as Dave, just keep doing what you're doing, dude. If you get an invitation, great. If not, at least you're dining on your own terms with all your mates. What's not love?
And Posh Dash.
Yeah, I think they found their calling. That's their role in life, to be the host and entertain. And I'd welcome it.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk. Just send an email to the Agony Uncles.
All right, your next problem here is called Mum and Dad's Secret. I need two female names here for Mum and Dad's Secret. Two female names. One of them from you, Uncle Si. One of them from Uncle Dave, please.
Beatrice
and Betty, the two B's. This comes to us from Beatrice. It says, Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, and Posh Trash, which...
Oh, yes!
This is it. That's it. That's her moniker from here on in.
Posh Trash.
Hey, you can have T-shirts made and everything.
Posh Trash.
Oh, God, you so are. God, come here.
Yeah. What's that fan site, that thing called OnlyFans, where there are sort of middle-aged...
Fan-only,
to sell their bodies.
You can do a fan-only zone. Posh Trash? Oh, this is fantastic. It's a whole new lifestyle and whole new career.
Great. Register the website domain now.
I'm on it, dude.
I'll be Posh calling trash. You next week going, sorry, can't manage you anymore. I'm busy.
Well, listen, Beatrice has changed Posh Trash's life and also has written in and says, Dear Agony Uncles, my mum and dad have moved from their house, which is the home that I grew up in, into some more suitable accommodation as they're getting on a bit, and our house was quite big. So that means my sister and I are clearing our old family home out, which, as you can imagine, can be quite emotional. When we're in the loft, my husband found, under a piece of loose flooring, a whole wad of letters written in the 1960s from someone called Betty, all addressed to my dad, and containing things that are really, really rather rude, even by today's standards. Now, Betty is not my mum's name, and there are lots of these letters, each of which describes something that Betty would like to do to my dad, along with some other people's names too, and how they might be involved. Now, at first, we thought that Dad must have been having an affair, until my sister pointed out that Betty's handwriting is exactly the same as my mum's. We also found two of those sort of eye masks in there, like you have in the opera, or at swingers' parties. She also recalls that we used to be sent to stay with Grandma some weekends while Mum and Dad went to a do. Should we mention these letters to Mum and Dad? I say, says Beatrice, absolutely not. But my sister, who is now convinced that they're on the swinging scene, said we should do, and we're both very intrigued. Any advice would be helpful. Love, Beatrice. Over to you.
It's Christmas. Get the sherry out, get them a bit tiddly and ask them all the questions. Here, we've just been clearing out the loft and I've just found these. Start with the eye masks. That's what I would do.
No, I think they should wrap them up as the present for Christmas. There's the present for you. They open up the eye masks.
You might kill them, Tash. You might kill them.
Exactly how old are these poor people?
Well, they're getting on enough to be moving into sheltered accommodation.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
I love it. I love it when people got past. People forget that parents have sex, you know. That's how you came here in the first place.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
But Dave, there's sex, and then there's discovering your other named parents, their secret little names for each other, and all the positions and everyone else they've shared Christmas with for the last 10 years, and gone, oh, look at Auntie Dora. She's brought you a lovely present. Auntie Dora is suddenly in the letter swinging from the chandeliers.
Oh, yes. And a pair of stilettos. Yes. I can see Auntie Nora right now.
I think I'd be quite proud of them, to be fair.
Yeah, same here, man. It'd be great. It's great.
I don't know about the swinging side. I mean, I don't know about that. But you know, are they sure they did that? Or did they just like a little bit of role play, you know?
Could be that, yeah. Then just suggest, it could be just the art of suggestion. Well, how about you get Auntie Nora involved in, you know, tickling your fancy with a duster?
Yeah.
You know, how it could be all of that, couldn't it?
I quite like it. If you think about it, say we're together, you know, it's better than going, oh, look, we're in bed. Shall we have a go? Well, we've got 5 minutes. They've actually taken time and written a letter and sent it and received it and got excited and met up. I think it's all rather romantic in its own sweet way.
They kept the letters as well, didn't they? They kept the letters.
How lovely. How lovely. And that's also that thing, isn't it? That you know, a letter is just so lovely.
Yeah, so rare.
It's rare these days. I write an email.
Text.
Just thinking back, actually, that guy wanted to throw his photo album away, just jumping stories.
that's so rare to have something to keep anymore. Emails get wiped, you lose your connection, your computer breaks. And keeping things is so precious. There's so few material memories you can keep, like letters, love letters and photos, that it's, I think it's wonderful. And how nice they're not ashamed of it. And they didn't rip them up and go, oh, we're being a bit saucy. Don't hope no one finds them. They've kept them because one day they wanted someone to know. Maybe they wanted them to find them.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a time capsule.
Yeah.
I think they're great. And yeah. I think... Look, you'll just look. The girls will feel their way. No pun intended. I just think that, you know, if they want to, if they fancy mentioning it, then mention it, and then if, you know, they'll know the characters and personalities of their parents better than anybody. It's always very difficult to comment on stuff like this, but for a laugh, me Dave would be like, yeah, you dirty devils, you know. But it'd be like, you know, you guys will know.
Are they going to see it as a gross invasion of privacy, though?
They read them. That's true. They found them.
You
should never read other people's diaries. You never know what you'll find.
Oh man!
You know, I was a bit cross with my mum. Actually, I hope she's not listening. I was a few years ago. She was giving back. We moved abroad a while ago, and we put lots of stuff in our parents' lofts. And she came then back and said, well, now we've moved into our permanent home, have some of the stuff out of my loft back again. Here you go. She goes, oh, this box is hysterical. It's all your letters from when you were 16 to your boyfriends and your friends. And I was that's A, embarrassing, but also, why did you read that? Because actually that was part of my makeup of how I fell in love with my husband eventually, you know, because who I met when I was 16 led me to where I am today. And I was like, naughty, but I've never really taken it out with her. She knows now.
Yeah, that. What's your mum's name?
No. Morwenna. No, it's not.
Morwenna.
No, your mum's name. You nosy mummy. That's shocking.
I was a bit cross, but anyway, never mind. You know, life's too short to argue over those things. At least I was happy and having fun, so it was fine.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, so we think the advice then to Beatrice is you'll just have to gauge whether or not you think your parents would like to hear about it or not. But either way, sounds like something to be proud of.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Kinkiness. Excellent.
Kinkiness.
Oh. Simon Kinkiness. That's usually
Simon Kinkiness.
We've got Posh Trash and Simon Kinkiness.
This is it. It's a porn site.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And Pie Wacket.
Pie Wacket, Kinky Kingy, and
Posh Trash.
It sounds more like a pantomime than anything erotic.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for listening to us. Remember to email your problems to agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
And while you do that, let me remind you, there'll always be the Agony Uncles podcast for a little light relief. So just follow and subscribe to make sure you don't miss us.
So, from Posh Tash, the Thin White Duke, and from us.
Bye!
Bye-bye, everybody.